As I was preparing what to share out of the three passages this morning, I came across first of the Old Testament and say, wait a minute, what's gazelle got to do with anything that we are supposed to talk about today? In fact, that segment sometimes people treat it as a bit like a love story. You know, it found in the Bible that talks about gazelle and talk about the love and everything else. And if you want to read any more love letters, you go to Songs of Solomon and you probably see a lot more of that sort of old traditional love poems and things like that. But I guess when I look more deeply into this particular Old Testament, it really talks about the love, what really the love is all about, but also something old and something new and fresh. That's important to understand. And of course, the James book tells us to be a doer of God's word, and not to be just following religion. And then it defines to us, what is religion? It's really very practical, loving action, that kind of thing. And then that brings us to the gospel passage. And I'm afraid there are some hard truths found in this passage in the gospel according to Mark. And this is the one I'm going to focus on today. I have titled it, it's not my title that I coined it, but I came across it. I call it Sacred Cows Make Gourmet Burger. All right, Sacred Cows Make Gourmet Burger. Now, fortunately, the pew sheet, because of some printer problem, the burger doesn't look as sumptuous as it may look, right? But if you look at the real, if it's printed out properly, it would be quite a nice looking burger. All right, I don't know whether that's a gourmet burger or not, but that's the easiest picture I've found. Right, Jesus sticks his nose in religious business of the day, and he's going to stick his nose in our religious business today as well. What Jesus has to say comes in the form of a warning on one hand and a rebuke on the other. A warning and a rebuke. Addressing the Pharisees, teachers of the law, and Jews and the people in general as well. Isaiah was right, he says. He prophesied about you hypocrites. Well, that's pretty hard truth, saying to the people then. They honor God with their lips, but hearts are far from God. Paying lip service, but they're actually not believing or heart that comes along with it. They worship God in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. Well, that's pretty tough. Nullifying the word of God by your tradition. Ouch. Let's look into what Jesus is saying today to us, as well as he was saying to the people then. I guess we are all creatures of habit. All right? We are all creatures of habit. You know, I don't know why I share with you. For whatever reason, I button from bottom up. I know some of you button from top to bottom. It just happened to be my habits that I have somehow developed through the years. Yes, we are all indeed creatures of habit, and we easily become accustomed to doing things the same way. Familiarity helps us so that we can remember and do the same stuff all the time. We do that also in churches as well. Now, if we're not careful, some of these practices of convenient routine can become full-fledged tradition that take on significance far greater and become almost holy and unchangeable. Tradition become more important than they should and become holy and unchangeable. Let me share a little bit. The very first church I served in Singapore, I won't tell the name because then you can start Googling and say, what was this church about? But anyway, it has a long tradition. They have an English congregation. They have two other dialect congregations. Dialects are just Chinese, different dialects speaking. And they used to have two separate pastors for separate congregations. They didn't get along at all. And as a result, the congregation also didn't get along to the point where they had to have separate drum sets. They had to have separate piano. And it was such a bad news. But by the time I got there, things got a lot better. But so, things got so bad that they actually at loggerhead with one another. They cannot even share the piano. They cannot even share the drum set. And that has become such a way of life for that particular church. It has become a tradition that they each do their own thing under separate priests and so on. Sadly, sometimes things like that can happen to churches. And I remember when I first assigned by the bishop, all right, over here is different. Over here you have consultation. The congregation say, yeah, we like you. We welcome you to our church. But in Singapore, the model is top down. The bishop send you out. No question asked. You go there next day. You come out, you go to another church. A very different model. And when I first got assigned to it, some of my clergy colleagues say, go and talk to the bishop. Don't go to that church. You know, it has such a long history. That's not good. Well, my view is say, you know, whatever happens, happens. So I got there, and yeah, I did what I could within the circumstances. Right. So, tradition can become sacred cows. People become very upset when someone tamper with our sacred cows. Every church has such tradition that have become sacred cows. For example, we have always have red carpet. Some people just weren't sure they could worship God on a blue carpet. The great hymn book, there are different versions of hymn books and so on, or even prayer books. The 1975 or the 1956 or even some older one or some other version. And in order to divert any dividing things within the church, some people treat it, say, well, the 1956 hymnal could be kept in the sanctuary. And the 1975 hymnal, well, it can be used in the chapel. Ways of dealing with this kind of traditions and the preferences that people may have. Other churches fight over where the piano is placed. Right? And I remember a good funny story that the priest decided to move it. So every Sunday he moves an inch or two, the piano. So eventually the piano got to move where it's supposed to be. Slowly, bit by bit. It seems that every church managed to elevate certain practices from the routine to the sacred traditions. Church growth specialist by the name of Bill Eason wrote about this phenomenon. He called it sacred cows make gourmet burger. This is where I got the name from. Churches that grow have to find a way to eat those sacred cows. That's what he says. But not all traditions are bad. We have to accept that. Not all traditions are bad. We all have tradition, family tradition, come together on Christmas or come together a thing, right? Yeah. So for example, one tradition I have, my father has passed away five, 6 years ago, and it's become a tradition that my mom wants to gather the whole family, children, in-laws and grandchildren and so on, so that we will just go to visit in the cemetery, and then after that we have a family meal together. And so that is something new, started a few years ago, and that we have been doing that, and we have one coming up a couple weeks time. Yeah. So not all traditions are bad. Families have traditions. Sports teams have traditions. They can be a valuable aid in communicating to us the truth about God and also about ourselves. The movie, some of you probably have watched that before, Fiddlers on the Roof, a very, very old movie with musical songs and sing and dance as well. And the theme song, do you know what the theme song was called? Tradition! Tradition. It said in a line in that song, say, our tradition tells us who God is and who we are. And I think that's a good definition, all right, of a good tradition. It tells us who God is and who we are, particularly in relationship with God. And when tradition can do that, it is a good tradition. Tradition is meant to speak of the reality behind tradition. In our text today, Jesus speaks about the kind of tradition that fails the test. Even though he was more addressing responses about food and about washing hands, but it has a wider implication. It has a wider principle applied in this passage from the Gospel of Mark. He points out that there is a kind of tradition that is wrong. That is wrong. That gets in the way of spiritual realities rather than pointing people to the spiritual truth. All right? Tradition is wrong when it takes people away from the spiritual truth. But if tradition helps to bring people together, seeing God and pointing them to God, that's good. So in Mark chapter 7, gather together many of the sayings that Jesus had that directly conflict with the tradition of the day. So if you read the whole chapter 7, there are many things that Jesus is picking on about tradition of the day and the people and how they misinterpret things. And here we find that the Pharisees and the scribes were upset with Jesus' disciples for not properly washing their hands ceremonially. This is not about hygiene. We teach our children, say, go and wash your hands before meal. That's a good stuff. But these are not hygiene purpose. They are purely ceremonial tradition that they have. So before the Jew would eat, they would pour water over their hands with the fingers pointing upwards. They even have a particular way of doing it, you know, pointing the fingers upwards. This action had nothing to do with hygiene. It has become a very important tradition that they would therefore pick on the disciples of Jesus. Jesus condemned such traditions that became more important than the things they represented. In verse 8, he says, "For you set aside the commandment of God and hold tightly to the tradition of humans." Jesus is addressing the real problem. "You're holding on so tightly of the tradition, you're missing the point," he say to the Pharisees and the scribes. Jesus saw through their dead tradition. They were more concerned with outward things than they were with the things that really count, which is the heart. Their worship was vain because they exalted tradition to the status of doctrine. In Matthew chapter 23, another gospel, Jesus said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup of the platter and the platter, but within they were full of extortion and unrighteousness. You blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and of the platter, that is outside may become clean as well." So don't do things in a reverse way. Do it properly, rightly. Jesus stressed that the inside was more important than the outside. Jesus was more concerned with their heart condition than their hand condition. Someone once said, "The heart of Christianity is the heart." A very quick story. Apparently a young rabbi was sent to a Jewish synagogue to look after. So he got there, and then when it came to prayer, and the left side stood up and began to pray, but the other side remained seated, and say, "That's very odd. Why would, like, just one day we say prayer, say this one stand up and the other one continues sitting down? And that's so weird. And they just keep murmur until there's lots of words being said to each other. It become louder and louder. And they say, "Is this a tradition of the synagogue? You know, why? What's happening? Or is it because they don't like me being a young rabbi? They want to put me in my place and see how I will handle the situation as a young rabbi?" So, he didn't want to do much at that first one, so he decided to leave it. And the next Sunday, or Sabbath day, the same thing happened. He just couldn't stand it, say, what's going on? Nobody was able to tell him the explanation. So he decided to go and see the senior rabbi. The senior rabbi, and asked him, what's going on? Are they just playing tricks on me so that they see how I can deal with the kind of situation? So the young rabbi asked the older or senior rabbi, say, what is the tradition? Do you actually sit down and pray? And the rabbi smiled and say, no. Okay, then do you actually stand up and pray? And say, the rabbi smiled at him, say, no. Then the young rabbi said, surely, there must be a solution. There must be explanation. Well, the rabbi just smiled at him again. Well, that is the tradition. That's what we do in prayer. Okay? No. That's what they do. For whatever reason, it has arrived to the point where one side would decide to sit down and one side to stand up. And they just bicker over it. And apparently, that has become tradition. Tradition. Crazy. Crazy. God is more concerned with who we are on the inside than the outward ceremonies. You can pray standing up or you can pray sitting down and still never really pray. You can wash your hands 1,000 times and still have sin in your heart. You can sing every song out of the 1956 hymnal and you still may not necessarily know God. You can worship on red carpet all your life and never experience holy ground. You can take crust and the cup from the sermon, before the sermon or after sermon and before this and before that, and in the end, you never really commune with God if your heart condition is not right. It is not the outward form of tradition that matters. It is what lies in our hearts that really, really counts. Jesus told us that it was impossible to put new wine into old wineskin. The old wineskin are already stretched and brittle, and the new wine goes in and it will cause it to break. The wineskin are lost, and the wine is lost as well. The old wineskin represents the structure we sometimes get ourselves into. The outward traditions that have forgotten what the heart really means. The new wine is that which is God doing in us. The new work that he's doing in each one of us every day. Renew, refresh every day. And we have the new wine, then we must also have the new wine skin. If we have new wine, we can see that this could be a new wine skin. But if we have new wine, then we need to put it in the new wine skin and really, really do what is necessary and important. The Jews were trying to get Jesus to conform to the ceremonial law. But Jesus knew the new wine had to have room to expand. Room to expand. That's why we need to have a new wine skin to keep the new wine. When we look at the early church, we see that they changed with God moving in the midst. The Holy Spirit was with them. They were moving powerfully, unafraid, with courage and everything. They were not bound to the past, but were living in God's glory now. The now. Not living in the past, but we need to live in the glory now. And what lies ahead in the future. And that's what you and I need to work on. To bring it all together. God wants to do a new thing every day. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. To be refreshed us, to bring a new thing in each of our lives, in people's lives. And we need to be open to the prompting and the work of the Holy Spirit. Who works in us and through us. What worked yesterday may not have the power for today. We live in a new day with new challenges, and we need to hear the word of the Lord for today and for tomorrow and for next week and so on. Paul said in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, he said, forgetting the things which are behind and stretching forward to the things which are before, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It is about the context of a race, running forward. You and I at St. Luke's, we need to run forward, stretching forward to what lies ahead. Keep those traditions that are good and helpful and useful, but we may have to slaughter some sacred cows and make them into burger patties. Are we familiar with the Olympics? You know, we just had the main one and now the Paralympics, and we know that people are doing well, but they don't run backward. They run forward to the goal, to win that prize, to cross that line. That's the important part that you and I need to embark on. What we have done, great, but what we need to go is forward, to run that race and run it well. So, dear brothers and sisters, let us be open for God to do a new thing in each of our lives today and every other day. And let's be open for God to do a new thing in our church in St. Luke's. And I'm excited we are embarking on things that we have not tried before, new things, good things, but it's hard work. Right, Lorraine? It's hard work. And the team, and so on. But we need to really, really embark on what God is calling us to do as a faith community, as God's people, to run the race, run it well, and to win the prize. Hallelujah and Amen.